you know, when it's just people are just, when I tell them these things, they can't believe it, because you know, for a whole country to go along like this, it's just mind-boggling. But in Canada, the added difficulty is they have a statute in place saying nobody can receive a license to broadcast, to publish a newspaper, whatever, if they've ever faced a lawsuit. Well, I mean, if you're a media of any integrity, somebody's going to threaten you with a lawsuit. But if you've even been threatened, it doesn't even have to have gone to court, but if they even threaten you, you can't get a license from what's called the CRTC, the Canadian Radio and Television Corporation. You know, so it's a routine practice. Even when they catch the Mounties doing this, they never reprimand them, because it's a government policy. There's nothing really illegal about genocide in this system. Be self-governing, and then you're not complicit in these crimes, which, of course, is morally and legally detestable to do, to be part of this whole thing.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Kevin Annett rejoining the program, and we're going to talk about what's going on in Canada. I think a lot of people in the United States or in other Western countries are so focused on their local situation, you're not aware of some of the things that are going on in other Western countries. And I think for people who are in the United States, which is probably the majority of my listeners, although I am growing quite a bit internationally, you know, it's pretty scary to hear what's really going on in Canada. And he's going to share that. And they're to the point where if anybody questions, this is what Trudeau said, anybody questions what the government is doing, they're going to be prosecuted. So that was actually said to the people. And, you know, all the gun grabs and the complete lack of freedom of speech and what's really going on there is scary. The Chinese bringing troops in there and the British government working with China, taking over land in Canada. And what does that mean to the United States? This is all very scary developments that we need to be really, really clear on. And, you know, when Trump says that China is something that we need to be paying attention to and we need to protect ourselves, these kinds of situations should be clearer in our minds that there's more going on here and we should be aware of it. And then we go on and we talk about the big pharma and the Vatican. And the Vatican has a much bigger role than people realize on what's going on with big pharma. And then we also talk about the Native Americans, because the Native Americans are used as test communities for so much, whether it's their children or, you know, I had a video that I did, and I'm going to link it below, of how they were testing chips, microchipping people, communities, Indian communities, and adding their bank accounts and health records and everything in those. And they always test out those communities first before they roll it out. And it's just all been laid out for us. And this is a very good and eye-opening interview so that Americans and other Western countries can see what can happen to another Western. This is our neighbor, and this is going on. And we have to be on high alert and figure out how to deal with these things. And I want to also, before we get into this interview, I want to remind you that my shop is up. I have coupons, not just for my patrons, which get more, they get better savings, but even my regular listeners, I have 10% off the organic C60 face cream and body lotion. It's a defying age lotion. I mean, the C60 really reduces your wrinkles, and it's not just like a lot of the other stuff will, like the retinol, it'll take the first layer of cells off. This is about making your skin better because it heals it. It makes it younger from the inside out. If you're taking C60 and you're also putting it on your face, I also have the Defy Time, which has a 15% coupon. It's much more expensive, but that has the telomere lengtheners. So you kind of use, I use a combination. I use C60 in the morning on my face and the Defy Time at night because I want my telomeres lengthened directly. And then I want the benefits of C60 on my face. So listeners can get discounts on that and the C60 gel caps and so much more. So let's get into this important interview with Kevin Annett. Hi, Kevin. Welcome back to the program.
It's good to be here, Sarah. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's too bad we couldn't get the video working. And of course, you're not, they don't usually do you any favors. But I'm really glad that you're here, at least on audio only, because we have a lot to talk about, and I really wanted to talk about some of the things that are going on in Canada. I don't think people quite realize the extent of, you know, everybody's so focused on their local situations right now, and they don't realize quite the extent of what's going on in other countries. And this Canada being so close to us, I think it's really important that we, at least people in the United States and other Western countries, are aware of what is actually going on. Can you talk about how Canada is still in a lockdown and what that means?
Definitely. The thing in Canada that is quite appalling, and it's really surprising, I think, perhaps to an American audience, where you have, you know, the state governments have a fair amount of power in terms of what they can do and not do. In Canada, it's so totally top-down. I'll give you an example. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is basically acting as a one-man government. Parliament has not been in session for over 2 months. The courts of law are all shut down. They're closed, like all the other buildings. And he's operating not even under the Emergency Powers Act. He hasn't even invoked the Emergency Powers Act, which gives the government a certain, you know, leeway to do these things if there was some kind of natural emergency. He hasn't even invoked that. And the Governor General, who's the formal head of state, has not even been heard from. So this man is operating completely alone without authority. So that's why we're saying to people, there's no reason to obey any of these rulings coming out of, you know, the government, like quarantining, distancing. All of this stuff is just his decision to do, and he has no authority or lawful standing in any of this. And so it's caused a lot of doubts. I remember talking to police about this, and they're really confused because they keep getting told a different thing every day. Obviously, you know, there's more going on here than we realize. And in that connection, on June 4th, it'll be the first anniversary of Trudeau admitting publicly that genocide happened in Canada. At that point, under international law, Canada should have faced what they call prosecution and punishment for genocide. And he also was under personal indictment for taking bribes from a company called SNC-Lavalin in Quebec. And he obstructed a police investigation into his own guilt in that scandal. So all of this came along, you know, conveniently for him to get off the hook. He should be in front of a war crimes tribunal right now and a court of law for what he did, but now he's superseded that. So I think that has something to do with why he's acting like a one man, like a king, basically.
Well, that's what I think. He's just like a king and a complete dictator and telling people what to do. Now, is he taking direction from the crown? Which my understanding is that's what he does. When he swore into office, he said that he was at the service of the crown.
What that means is that he's acting under the authority of what's called the Queen's Privy Council. And the Privy Council is a small little, it's a typical colonial body of insiders who pass most of the laws anyway. People don't realize that about 3/4 of all laws passed are never even debated in Parliament. They're passed order in council. You know, all the genocidal acts, the Indian Act, the residential school legislation, all that came out of order in council. And once again, this so-called health emergency is coming through order in council. So it's 4 or 5 guys in a room deciding, you know, what needs to happen, and then everybody just goes along because they think that's somehow democracy and work. It's definitely at the behest of the Crown, which is, as you know from our work, already a convicted criminal body.
Well, now, those 5 people, or whoever's in that room making those decisions, does the public know who those people are?
They know some of them. A few of them are insiders, like senior civil servants. One of them, to give you an example, is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Canada, Beverly McLaughlin. So, again, it's a colonial system. There's no separation of powers, you know, checks and balances, the judiciary monitoring the government, that kind of thing. No, they're all in the little clique together. And, you know, so it's just, we never had any kind of responsible government in Canada. Our 1776 got crushed. There was an attempted revolution in 1837, and it got crushed, and the power of the crown and the church was kind of solidified at that point. So that's historically where this stuff's going on. But it becomes especially blatant at a time like this, you know, when you know, when it's just people are just, when I tell them these things, they can't believe it, because you know, for a whole country to go along like this, it's just mind-boggling.
Well, everybody's acting like children, and they've been trained to act like children, because a lot of us are just absolutely appalled. We're just mortified by the fact that people are following so easily without, when we know what the truth is. But are more people questioning? I mean, are they, is there, first of all, is there high, is the censorship worse there than here?
Well, it's hard to judge because don't forget the media, of course, is completely a corporate machine. And, you know, we only really get the truth out through programs like yours, alternative media, just people sharing stuff, right? But in Canada, the added difficulty is they have a statute in place saying nobody can receive a license to broadcast, to publish a newspaper, whatever, if they've ever faced a lawsuit. Well, I mean, if you're a media of any integrity, somebody's going to threaten you with a lawsuit. But if you've even been threatened, it doesn't even have to have gone to court, but if they even threaten you, you can't get a license from what's called the CRTC, the Canadian Radio and Television Corporation. So it's totally managed that way. And so reporters know to keep in line. People know not to cover certain issues and people. And I'm a living example of that. Since 2008, my name has never been mentioned in the media because our work contrasts with the official line about the residential school genocide, right? Once the spin was brought in.
Well, that's just, I've ever been sued. I mean, all they have to do is shut you up and sue you, and then you're done. That's just...
Even threatened.
Yeah.
You can't ever have been even threatened with a lawsuit.
So basically you have no freedom of speech there. It's a totally controlled system just because of that.
Trudeau actually went out soon after the so-called coronavirus came in. Trudeau made a statement that anyone who criticizes the government's measures will face prosecution and jail. Well,
wow.
This guy must not know his own history, because going back to Magna Carta over 1,000 years ago, it's been a standing law and tradition that no man shall be tried for his thoughts. In other words, even if you advocate treason, even if you're just advocating it and not doing anything about it, it's not a crime. You can't be criminalized because you have a certain attitude, right? And that's exactly what he's saying. You've got to think this way, do what we say, you know, trust us, even though Health Canada, that's imposing these health measures, admitted that they were using children for generations in their medical experiments in the Indian hospitals. And yet you're going to trust your children's fate in the hands of these genocidal agencies? You know, I
Why?
Don't think so.
And they lied and everything else. Now they came out and said that the numbers are, our CDC said that the numbers are extremely low and it's really not any different than the flu. So are people, you know, with that in mind, everything should go away. Everything should go away. But with everything that's going on, are people seriously questioning it? I mean, just the comment that he says, if anybody questions the government, you are going to be prosecuted. I mean, that is about the scariest thing I've heard coming from supposedly a free country.
Well, it isn't. And, you know, Canada's on the ground is an extremely controlled, repressive society. And a lot of people are objecting to that, actually. And a sign of that is the fact that I've been going around, especially Western Canada, and organizing meetings of people who want to form common law assemblies and bring in their own community policing, common law sheriffs, that kind of thing. It's a new idea for Canadians. It's more kind of obvious to Americans, that idea. But we found that the response has been incredible. Like just lots of people showing up saying, you know, we got to do something about this. There have been protests routinely in all the major Canadian cities. Hundreds. There was recently a couple of thousand people in Montreal protesting the lockdown. So there is a lot of resistance, but in people's minds, and yet even the people resisting are not realizing that in a way this is nothing new. And an example I give to people is under the Indian Act for over 100 years, if you're living on a reservation, you can't refuse medical treatment. If they want to come in and shove a needle in your child's arm, you go to jail if you refuse it. You couldn't leave the reservation without a special pass, like what they're trying to do now with quarantining everybody, where you're locked in your home. All of that has been happening to Aboriginal people for over a century. And I say, well, now they're just doing it to all of us. We're all on the reservation now, if you like. You know, like in this sense, the laws are not new. They're just happening more generally to all of us. So I say to people, well, if you ignore genocide against one group, it's going to blow back on you. And here's a perfect example of what's going on now.
Well, they used to, in this country, they were testing chipping in the Native American populations. They had multiple communities where they were chipping them. Their health records and everything were in their chip. their bank accounts and everything. They were doing this 20 years ago. And in that episode, she was saying that this is very common. They test things that they're going to roll out to the public in our communities. I have that video. I should probably link to it below so people can hear it. She ended up not coming back on my show because she was threatened. And they just decided not to. She wanted to do more shows with me and couldn't because of that and her family and things. But that's just very important that these tests and these communities, it's a common pattern.
Well, yeah, and I'll give you an example of that. In the downtown east side of Vancouver, where I really, over 30 years ago, I began doing this work with Native people, there's a thing called Oppenheimer Park. It's a big public space. And a month ago, they started herding all the homeless into this park. No distancing. They've got everyone stacked in like sardines behind fences. There were police barricades, and you couldn't leave it. And most of these homeless people are Native. Well, lo and behold, about a week ago, the whole place is cleaned out. If you go there now, there's nobody. They've got these high, 10-foot-high fences around it. You know, they're probably going to sell off the park to some developer, you know, Chinese developer.
Where are the people?
Here's the point. They claimed, I went to talk to the cops, and they said, oh, we've got them all housed in local hotels. And I said, which hotels? And they mentioned one, and I go there, a Holiday Inn, and they say, no, nobody's come here. So they're openly lying. It's like routinely this is done to the homeless. They're just carted away, and who knows where they are. But again, like I said, this is not new in Canada.
So you just don't know where the homeless went. So are you guys thinking that they eliminated them somehow?
Well, routinely that happens. I mean, to give an example, it even made the corporate media a few years ago where a survivor was called Midnight Tours. The police, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, will grab Indians in the middle of winter, take them outside of town for 30 miles and just dump them there without their shoes. Oh. They're dead in the morning, right? And, you know, so it's a routine practice. Even when they catch the Mounties doing this, they never reprimand them because it's a government policy. There's nothing really illegal about genocide in this system. And so we know how it happens, but this is happening now on a bigger scale. It's like with the story on the missing Native women. You know, the government had another pseudo-inquiry into it. But what they don't bring out is the fact that whole families go missing in northern British Columbia. And that's a whole other story having to do with the Chinese and them sponsoring basically death squads to force Natives off their land to grab it because the Chinese own more and more of Canada, its natural resources, and its superport in Prince Rupert on the West Coast. So it's all of that tied into it as well because Trudeau has allowed China to station their troops on Canadian soil to protect their investments. He's removed all limits on Chinese investment in Canada. So he's working directly with China on a lot of this stuff.
Well, and that must be at the direction of England. And do you think that there's a threat to the United States because of that?
Absolutely there is. And as a matter of fact, I think it's part of the bigger, well, I know it's part of this bigger geopolitical fight between China, Russia, and America for you know, who's going to be the top banana now. And America's going down, and China's the rising power, and Russia's trying to kind of broker the two. But and of course, the Vatican is too. That's their role all along. They're trying to play all sides in this game. But it's definitely a reflection of that whole struggle as well.
Well, this whole shutdown has been is to destroy the United States. I'm almost to destroy the natural order of things right now. I shouldn't say natural. It's never natural, but whatever the order is right now, that's what this whole lockdown is to destroy so they can build something new up.
Very much. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Big Pharma and the Vatican. You've stated that before we got on, we talked about there's some pretty big moves going on with the Vatican, but it's just not being talked about. Can you share some of the things that you know?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. Just a couple of days ago, the former head of the Jesuits, Adolfo Pichon, died suddenly in Tokyo. And if folks recall, he was one of the three defendants in our second common law court trial. We named Bergoglio, Pope Francis, the present guy, Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and Adolfo Pichon, the head of the Jesuits, the so-called Black Pope. All three of them were named as being involved in this ninth circle, child sacrificial cult. All of them were seen at rituals. We had people's affidavits, you know, all of that.
Yep.
And after the verdict of that second criminal court trial came out, he resigned. Pachon, the head of the Jesuits, said he was resigning. That's only the second time in the history of the Jesuits that any top, what they're called superior generals, that they had ever resigned. And one of the reasons they did is because the Jesuits are heavily involved through banks, things like Citibank of America and Chase Manhattan. They're very heavily involved in the drug trade and in big pharma. And one of the things that it's interesting he died right now, because one of the things that they were sponsoring for many years was Jesuit-run hospitals, Catholic hospitals, where children were routinely used in drug testing experiments, and including, I believe, in the present, you know, coronavirus thing. So there's a whole Vatican link to Big Pharma there that they want to keep hidden. So that's one of the reasons they've kept a low profile. They do like they did in any kind of like the residential schools or the genocidal disclosures. They step back and they let the state cover for them. And that's, in a way, what's going on very much right now.
Because they're way more actively involved. And if that came out, but, you know, so much has come out on the Vatican that I wouldn't be surprised. Nothing surprises me anymore, because they use the organizations that seem the least likely to do it is where they shove it, so that people don't question it.
That's right. And don't forget, even if people were widely disenchanted with the Catholic Church, which I think they are, you know, I think there's a lot more awareness now of what it actually is, you know, in terms of a huge money laundering criminal racket, basically. But even when people are aware of that, don't forget they're still heavily protected by the state and by law. If you in Canada, again, another extreme example, because churches and government can do anything they want in Canada, basically. There's no recourse under the law to fight them. But if there's a thing traditionally called the benefit of clergy, where going back centuries to England, where if you were convicted of a crime, all you had to say was benefit of clergy. You claimed to protect the church, and you were let off. And that's because the church traditionally was a law unto themselves. And still to this day, Catholic policy says that the church is not under the law of the land. So if a priest rapes a child, everyone is to be quiet about it or you're excommunicated. And how can you tell people to defy the child protection laws of their own country unless they're a law under themselves? So they're relying on that heavily. You know, there have been examples in the States where Native people have told me of where children are buried near former Indian schools. And they've told me that, well, we went to the FBI and they said they couldn't dig there because it's church property.
Oh, geez.
So, okay, well, then serial killers get to tell the police what to do, right?
That's exactly right. So what do people think about the gun grab that's going on there? Because with all that as a backdrop, you have to be insane to not want freedom to bear arms.
There is no such under the law in Canada. The state, you know, owns the guns, and Trudeau brought out all these new restrictions on firearms. In Canada, you can't go in and just buy a gun. If I wanted to get a hunting rifle, I have to register, and I have to be part of an accredited gun club, whose members are all monitored. You can't just go get a rifle. You can't get certain weapons at all, like semi-automatic weapons. And or handguns, they do thorough criminal checks on you and the whole bit. So it's very controlled already, but it's become even more controlled. And there's, you know, opposition, like in some of the rural areas in Alberta, where there tends to be much more of a independence attitude to things, you know, among Western farmers, and that they don't like the central government at all. There's a lot of people who just carry arms anyway, but they can be arrested and thrown in prison at any point by the RCMP for doing that.
Yeah, well, they all get to have arms, right?
Well, it's the same feudal attitude. I mean, it's we've never had this idea that people are self-governing. And so it's harder for Canadians to get their heads around the fact that, yeah, you can say no. You don't give your consent, right?
So now the self-governing is so much more important right now. Where are you at with that? And I mean, because I think everybody kind of gets to the point where I just don't want to be part of this system. And how do I become self-governing? And I've done a lot of shows on this, but I have so many people that fight with each other behind the scenes, and they all say they're right and the other people are wrong. And I just, So you guys are all idiots if you're going to fight with each other. This is a bigger cause. So that's why I like talking to someone like you who is just above that. And it's you have to be above that. If you, I mean, this is a pretty serious situation. So where are you at with this?
Well, you're right that people, it's easier to fight each other than a very dangerous adversary. And so you tend to find that. But, what we do to get around that is we've been holding these common law assemblies. And in Canada, it's been under the jurisdiction of the Republic, which in 5 years ago, in January 2015, there was a convention in Winnipeg, and a couple of hundred people established this Republic of Canada, which is. It's simply a common law jurisdiction that says we're not under the authority of the Crown and its laws because it's an illegal, criminally convicted body, and we're under natural law jurisdiction, and we can covenant then to form our own government. And you start that locally. We get people to sign a charter. 12 men and women just sign this common law charter saying we are self-governing. We have the right to form our own courts, our own grand juries, our sheriffs. And it's a way we're taking back power into our community. And we've had, to give you an example, there's already in the last about 6 weeks, I've helped form 11 different assemblies like that. And the people are just thronging to them because it's been an idea that's been lying latent in a long time, for a long time in people in Canada. Because, the situation is just here so bad that. It kind of it boomerangs in the other direction, and people are wanting this kind of republic alternative. And so what we say to people then is it's not what's important is that not we come up with a perfect solution because no one has a blueprint for that. It's a general idea that people need to govern themselves. How that's going to play out in every different community, people have to decide themselves. So we say get together, start something, and see what happens. That's kind of like one of Napoleon's favorite quotes was he would say, "You start a battle and then see what happens," because everything is unpredictable in life. You don't know what's going to happen. You've got to maneuver all the time. And so, an example of that is we had in North Winnipeg an assembly formed last year, actually, and they've been telling the local police that they're going to bring in their own ordinances. For the community, for example, the streets are all run down, so they're going to start blocking off the streets, planting community gardens, taking back that power. The police are already looking the other way because they realize, and we've been holding one of the things we do is we hold common law workshops where we bring people in and train them in the basic principles. And we've invited the police to come into these things. And they look favorably on this because their main concern is, well, let's find a way to all work together because your average cop is just wanting to do that. He's not operating according to a political agenda. He just wants to work with people to,
He just wants peace.
especially if you're,
He's a true peace officer. I mean, they used to be peace officers, and that's what they were there for, is to just create peace. Now they've turned into a thug for the whatever and they don't like that. The majority, some like it, but I'm hearing more and more people. Catherine, not Catherine, Cynthia McKinney came out and talked about how she's trying to do this more. I mean, there's a lot of people that want to do it because they just are horrified by what they're seeing in their local communities and their national. I mean, everywhere we're horrified, and so we just want to have what we were always promised growing up. You know what I mean? We want our freedom. We want what you
That's right,
promised
yeah.
us. And if you aren't going to give us that, we're going to have to created ourselves.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.